98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning.
Rush Hour Reboot. Only when you throw two picks and one that ends the game do you wear that shirt in the press conference.
Oh, my goodness.
I just looked up and was reminded what I saw last night from Tom Brady. It's time for your Rush Hour Reboot when Erin Maloney takes over, the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. She gives the facts, we give opinions, and you support us or rip us at Doug and Wolf 98.7. Maloney, go.
Kelly Oubre Jr. was on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco yesterday and had a parting shot for Suns owner Robert Sarver.
You just hit the nail on the head, man. I can play for an owner, you know, somebody who actually cares about, you know, the organization and not just the, you know, the perception of the organization on the media end of it.
Your reaction to that?
My reaction is, how many times I have been told that Robert Sarver doesn't listen to the media or doesn't read different media reports, and yet here's a player specifically saying how he cares about the perception of the media.
I can honestly say right now, ladies and gentlemen, all I care about is what Robert Sarver does from this point forward. I know you can look back and you can say 10 years they didn't make it to the postseason.
Okay, I'll do it. 10 years!
Exactly right, and I get it. I understand that. But to me right now, there's been a paradigm shift in the front office, and I think the evidence is before us. And so is the future.
Sticking with the Phoenix Suns, ESPN's Kendrick Perkins had some praise for what the team has done in free agency.
Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. They are winning big time. Getting Chris Paul, adding a guy like Jay Crowder, adding another guy like Etuan Moore, who a lot of people don't value. I'm looking at this Phoenix Suns roster, and they look pretty damn good on paper also.
So up now at ArizonaSports.com is our Sanderson Ford poll question, and it asks, where do you think the Suns will finish in the Western Conference next season?
Wow.
So your choices are top four seed, comfortably in the playoffs, fighting for one of the last playoff spots, or missing the playoffs.
First of all, very fair question.
Yeah.
I like the question. I'm going to say comfortably in. I still think the Warriors, Clippers, and Lakers will all be in the top four.
Even without Klay Thompson.
I do. I think they'll be in the top four. And then I don't like the Suns over both Utah. I think Portland's going to rebound a little. There's just too many teams in that four spot for me to say one through four. But I totally believe five through eight.
Yes.
Comfortably in.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same thing right there because it's kind of a reach to put them in the top four. You got both LA teams, right? And then
and
Utah
I didn't throw Denver
well.
In there. They're good.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Honestly, Denver, no doubt about it. I'm going to put them comfortably in.
Mm-hmm. So 45% say comfortably in the playoffs, 37% fighting for one of the last playoff spots, 10% top four seed, and then 8% missing the playoffs.
Wow. And remember, for those of you in the 8%, 10 teams make it. Now, maybe you're saying I don't want to count that because 7, 8, 9, 10
right.
all have a play-in tournament. But I can't. There's 15 teams. You're not naming for me five teams that – I'd say six teams that you guarantee are better than the Suns this year.
That 8% right there, listening to Allison Chains, apparently.
The Cardinals are gearing up to face the Patriots on Sunday. Head coach Cliff Kingsbury joined Burns and Gambo yesterday and discussed the biggest Bill Belichick takeaway that he uses as a head coach.
More than anything, the importance of situational football. I mean, it was week in, week out. We'd have these walkthroughs, and he'd be, you know, having these situations occur that you'd never think would happen in a million years. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, it would pop up. And you were always prepared on those Patriot teams for any situation that could arise in a game. And you didn't panic. You executed at a high level because of that. And that was probably the number one thing that I remember about, you know, being there.
Do you think Sunday's game means a little more, a little extra for Cardinals head coach?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, how couldn't it? This is a guy that played for Bill Belichick. He's been on the staff as a quality control guy. Yeah, absolutely. This is an important game to Cliff Kingsbury, more so than what any other game might be.
It's funny with that quote, Maloney, because where do I think he needs to improve his situational football? So I appreciate that he learned it as a player. As far as your specific question, I think 100% because he's a human being, But out of everybody who would be in this position, I think it matters less to him than all the other people. There is just something maniacally focused about him that doesn't even allow him to enjoy the moment until it's over. So, yes, but not as much as maybe a Matt Patricia or a Josh McDaniels or anybody else that's from the tree that comes into New England.
It's one of the things I love about Cliff Kingsbury is the humanity of Cliff Kingsbury. This means something to him. There's no doubt.
The L.A. Rams beat the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football 27-24. Here's ESPN's Lewis Riddick.
I think it makes them a definite NFC title contender because they can play many different styles. They have guys who are shutdown type of guys on the defensive side with Jalen Ramsey. They can play zone coverage with good eye discipline and good vision on the quarterback and intercept the ball and turn it over. Look, Aaron Donald wasn't even a factor tonight. You didn't even hear his name, and yet they were still able to come up with big plays and turnovers, which is something that Sean McVay wanted them to do. And they went against a very high-powered offense and basically, in crunch time, rendered it useless.
Which team makes you more nervous as a Cardinals fan, the Seahawks or the Rams?
Rams. Without a doubt.
Yes, because of that defense.
Even to Riddick's point about, he didn't say NFC playoff contender. He said title contender. That's Super Bowl. That's having two games in Tampa this year. And I look at it as if we're in a coronavirus world and you don't have the menacing noise of Saints fans, do you really think it's going to be that impossible for the Rams to go into New Orleans and win? I don't. Now, I think Sean Payton will have some Roby Coleman issues, even though Roby Coleman's not there anymore, to have the Rams back in the NFC Championship game. But I right now, if I had to pick, I might change my mind in a month, but I would take the Rams going to the Super Bowl out of the conference.
Defense travels. Never forget that. And the morale that it provides a football team is huge, especially when on the road.
So this just in from ESPN's Adam Schefter, because I'm going to get to Mike McCarthy in a second. According to Schefter, Cowboys announced that they've canceled today's practice and Mike McCarthy's press conference today due to a non-COVID medical emergency. So
does it say that it's a McCarthy emergency issue or just a generic, so we don't know who's not feeling well?
Right.
Okay.
But about Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
NFL Network's Tom Pelissero shared a story about how the Cowboys head coach got his team ready to play the Vikings.
Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, "Guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands." At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, "I got to get that one." He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon.
Oh, my gosh.
Who does this make you think of right here?
I forget the guy's name. There used to be a comedian that would smash watermelons with right over the first five rows of the crowd.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is, I've seen coaches do a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. I have this one right here.
That would get you, wouldn't it? Come on. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to motivate you, but you would have fun at practice.
You'd be laughing. Yes. It would cut the tension. Yes. That is brilliant, only because it just totally puts you at ease a little bit, cuts the tension in the room.
Yeah.
It's not going to motivate you to do your job, but
I like it. Yeah. Good move by McCarthy.
And then, according to Pac-12 insider John Wilner.
Tony Sperano.
Anything John Wilner says, it happens, by the way.
So, he said, Pac-12 sources, although situation is fluid, Utah-Washington this weekend could be more likely than Utah-ASU. Eyes on Tempe.
Not a third game.
Man.
No,
really?
John.
Boy, let's hope that's not the case.
No, John. Oh,
that's serious.
Pac-12 is thinking Utah Washington is more likely than Utah ASU.
Man,
there's a lot of people in this city upset. BYU fans and ASU fans. We'll keep our eye on this as much as possible to give you the latest. Coming up next,
brutal.
Will the Patriots defense How big of an effect will they have on the Cardinals' offense? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Brutal. I should be offended. I should. Over the top.
I would just say,
I've never been over the top. Everything I've said is completely sincere, and that's why I should be offended.
The person, I forget who voiced that one, the last one.
Derek Hall.
It was Derek Hall? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, D. Hall. But the reason why he did is because somebody said that to you on Twitter.
Yes.
And you went on a huge rant.
Yes.
And it was only like 10 minutes later, Derek Hall was on, and he started that way. It was fantastic.
This made me so upset.
Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf in the Octon Community Studios. Paul is in Paul's stall. He calls it the wedge, which is kind of boring. And then there's Minchin Maloney in the HLO Henry Lopez Command and Control Center of the Doug and Wolf Show. Patriots defense, Cardinals offense. That is, it's famous. I remember it being said, old school name here, that somebody that you kind of competed against, if you ever thought of yourself as competing against a coach,
yo,
Richie Pettibone.
Pettibone.
The Washington Redskins defensive coordinator used to say, my job is to take away what you want to do. That's all he said. That's all his whole job, he said, was to take away what you want to do. It's become much more famous under Bill Belichick, who does pride himself on finding out what it is you do best and making sure you can't do it against him. Well, that kind of breeds into both the injury and the fact that Paul brought it up much earlier this year, how well disciple Matt Patricia of Bill Belichick's tree did against Kyler Murray when he didn't even rush for 30 yards in that game.
I think probably having a little bit of a banged up wing there early, you know, we wanted to be safe and make sure that moving forward we didn't put him in harm's way. And so that was probably more than anything and what I'd say prohibited him from running as much. But once again, Seattle did do a nice job with their front and did some different things to try and take away some of those lanes.
So you dialed back some of the plays that maybe you normally would have called, given the kind of the status of his shoulder that had happened so early in that game. You were a little more conservative when it came to some of those running calls that maybe you normally would have done?
No question.
You can hear the exclusive interview that Burns and Gambo had with Cliff Kingsbury at ArizonaSports.com, but it brings up this difficult question, and that is, will Kyler Murray run with the same aggression with that shoulder, and can the Cardinals win if he doesn't?
Yeah, or two other questions. Can he run? Will he be able to run physically? And will Coach Belichick allow him to run? Because what the Patriots did against the Texans in this last game was take away the Houston run game. In fact, Deshaun Watson was their leading rusher with just 36 yards on the ground. And all the other yards, very few yards, 55 yards rushing total, came from the running back. So New England said, we're going to bottle up your run game. Here's the thing. Deshaun Watson was very efficient. He had his fifth 300-yard passing game. He threw for a couple of touchdown tosses. He ran for one. He had zero picks. And really, that was the difference in the game. Houston somehow, for the first time, was able to play mistake-free football because previously their only two wins were against Jacksonville. But they were able to put together a pretty efficient game against New England. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact they were one-dimensional, they still won.
We were talking about this earlier, but if, in fact, Bill Belichick could fly a drone over the Arizona Cardinals practice and take pictures, he'd want to know, above all else, if, in fact, Kyler Murray is healthy. If he's healthy and will be effective running the ball. That is the one thing that I think Bill Belichick is going to try to take away more than anything else in rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1-6. I think he's going to try to take away the ability of Kyler Murray to run the ball. Talking about snapping it to Kyler Murray, called runs, designed runs, where all of a sudden the option is his as to whether or not he's going to run the football.
I think what I want to know is a question he won't find out until the first quarter is over, and that is, will Cliff Kingsbury call the run? Will Cliff Kingsbury be a little bit hesitant to call Kyler Murray runs? Even if Kyler tells him, I'm fine, Cliff doesn't care about his opinion. Sure. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm wondering if he got a little gun-shy, and rightfully so, against Seattle of using Kyler as a runner, Could he not be in that same mode? And kind of to your point, Paul, is it time for Kyler to win a game with his arm, reading the defense, throwing for 300 yards without the threat of him running?
Well, will there be the threat of the run early at all? Because remember the first two drives, the first two possessions for the Cardinals in Seattle, there was one run play in those first two drives. So will that actually be a part of the play calling in the first two drives? I think that's a big question. Then if weather is a factor, then you know obviously that'll take on more importance. But Wolf, if you're so infatuated with these drones, you know you need to give Kelvin Beecham a call. Kelvin Beecham, remember on the Big Red Rage?
That's right.
Remember, he's into these drones.
That's right, Paul.
He told us he can fly a drone from his place here in the AZ all the way back to his hometown in Texas. He can fly a drone all the way to his hometown in Texas. So you know what? You go.
I hope he's better than Trevor Bauer.
You call Kelvin Beecham. And
that's
you get
right, Paulie.
Let's get our own drone and send it over to Foxborough.
Yeah.
Let's see what Coach Belichick's doing this week.
And once again, when I talk about that, it's the preparation, right? Bill Belichick is a huge preparation freak. That's what he's all about. One of the things I should say he's all about is preparing and the attention to detail. So his game plan going in is really, really important. It's because of how he prepares his team throughout the week. But having said that, ladies and gentlemen, this is a coach that I promise you right now does not wait until halftime to make adjustments. This is a coach that will rip up the game plan immediately, like after two series.
And hey, the Cardinals have trailed at halftime the last four games running. They have been playing from behind. Now they're 2-2 in those games, but they're playing from behind right now. And especially against Belichick, if you can take a lead and try and dictate things instead of the other way around, and all of a sudden he's able to dial a few things up if he's playing from the lead, I'd say that's a key point to the game.
Speaking of your Beecham story there, number one, you can't tell me Belichick doesn't have anti-aircraft guns in that lighthouse.
He probably has radar.
I mean,
he's got radar. It'll go off.
Number two, only one opening drive touchdown this year for Cliff Kingsbury. This would be the time to add to that to make sure that you are forcing Cam Newton to throw to keep up with you instead of having them being able to establish their run because you're trailing. And then there's to be able to show Bill Belichick your knowledge in situational football.
More than anything, the importance of situational football. I mean, it was week in, week out, we'd have these walkthroughs, and he'd be, you know, having these situations occur that you'd never think would happen in a million years, and sure enough, 3 weeks later, it would pop up, and you were always prepared on those Patriot teams for any situation that could arise in a game, and you didn't panic. You executed at a high level because of that, and that was probably the number one thing that I remember about, you know, being there.
I would imagine if I'm coaching against Belichick, you're very curious to find out when the game starts, what does he think of you? What does he make of your offense? Where exactly is he putting his defensive emphasis? I'm always curious to figure out, okay, how has Belichick diagnosed and dissected that game film during the week? What does he consider most important about your team? And it's telling in a lot of ways about what he thinks you do best. And then, you know what? To your point, Wolf, I think it's critical. They're going to have to adjust. They're not going to be able to wait till halftime.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably have to adjust immediately based on that first series.
Yeah, that's what he does. I cannot tell you, Basin Onings, how many times I played for the Cleveland Browns for 2 years where we were two series into the game, and suddenly Bill Belichick would call the defense over or call the offense over and go, okay, hey, listen, everything we practiced, forget about it. Rip it up. This is what we're doing. And then he'd sit here and tell you, grease it up on the grease board. Now, listen, that's back when he was much younger, of course. I don't know how much it's changed, but I do know that he was not a big believer in saying we're going to wait till the end of the first quarter or the end of the first half before we make adjustments. He was not a big believer in that and didn't do it. Made it after two series. This is one of the reasons why he brings in bright guys, smart guys. I cannot tell you. Over and over and over again, you see the same type of player that is being brought into his locker room, and it's because he makes those adjustments midstream, two series after you've started the game.
If you get a guy that's unbelievably talented but not very smart, you handcuff a brilliant head coach. Why would he want you? You sacrifice what Bill Belichick can do that way, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Coming up next, you got two things. One, you could win a $700 barbecue grill if you texted GATE to 620-620. We double up, so those of you that are listening at 830, you have a chance to win the ultimate virtual tailgate presented by Four Peaks and Maximum Football. Max Starks,
yes.
Super Bowl-winning offensive lineman. Where do the Cardinals rank in the NFC West? And as a guy that's won a couple rings, does he see potential in the Rams?
Yeah, but he's just got one X in his name. You know, come on. Give me a call when it's Max with two X's.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks.
Max Starks.
Maximum Football. Maximum Football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Hi, are you caller number two for the grill?
Yes, I am. I am calling for a grill or a cornhole set or any type of paraphernalia for my tailgating needs.
What's up, Max?
What's up,
Wolf?
What's up,
man?
Doug? Happy Tuesday, guys.
Happy middle of the week since we're off on Thursday. How about that?
Listen, 2 days until the ultimate showdown, which is Feast Day. It's an annual event that rivals the Super Bowl in my household, in my mind.
Any offensive line Thanksgiving stories? How many turkeys does an offensive line go through?
Listen. There's no bones because here's what we had. So I was blessed and fortunate in my time in Pittsburgh to have a teammate by the name of Charlie Batch, who was dating and then married a woman by the name of Latasha Wilson Batch, and Tasha could throw down. And so Tasha would have anybody from the team and their kin over the house, and there was always an unlimited amount of food. It felt like she actually had the styrofoam to-go plates where she would actually have those sitting next to the food because she knew people were going to be taking some home. And so, you know, honestly, that was my best moment. Like, a lot of my teammates, you know, my first couple of years, my mom used to cook for any of the guys that didn't have families in town or didn't go home for Thanksgiving. We'd have them over to my place. But, you know, a couple years in, like, Tosh was like, no, listen, your mom doesn't have to worry about it. I got it covered. And listen, there was everything you could imagine. Whatever your favorite thing was, Doug or Wolf, it was there at the Batch household.
Oh, heaven.
And we had cards, and we watched games because, obviously, at that time, the Steelers weren't playing on Thanksgiving like they are now until after I retired. Thank you, Pittsburgh. I'm not bitter at all that I didn't get to play on Thanksgiving. But, anywho,
Max,
so that's actually the best moments we had.
Max, 2004 was your first year in the National Football League, correct? 2004.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What about Turkey Day pranks? Did the Steelers have any Turkey Day pranks for you rookies?
So, rookie year Thanksgiving prank.
I'm telling the story tomorrow, okay? FYI.
I totally had to bring to the facility 15 full frozen turkeys to the facility.
15?
15.
Okay, why was that? The offensive line room?
For the offensive line room, and they said that you had to bring those because it was job of every rookie to bring turkeys for Thanksgiving, and that it would be handed out, as a charitable gift. That's how they put it to me. And then I get to the facility, I'm walking in with like six of these turkeys in my hand, right? And I'm like, okay, where do I put the turkeys? And literally the guys in the kitchen were like, huh? We're like, turkeys? It's like, yeah, they told me to bring 15 turkeys. And they're just looking. And then I walk up to the old line room with the turkeys in my hand.
No.
Right.
I'm like, hey, where do these turkeys go? They're like, what are you talking about, Rook? What turkeys? It's like, these turkeys I'm holding in my hand. I didn't just bring six raw turkeys frozen to the facility because I felt like it was a good idea. I was like, you told me I had to bring 15 turkeys. Well, where are the rest of the turkeys? I was like, in my truck. Well, just keep them there. What do you mean just keep them there? Because we don't want turkeys. And you can't bring them into the facility, to the lunchroom, because they're personal turkeys.
Oh, man.
So they just had you go out and get turkeys.
Yeah.
So luckily, I was able to talk to Mo, rest in peace, who worked at and he put them in the freezer. And then I went down to the Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and donated the
turkeys.
There you go. And then that's what stemmed me to actually start my annual Thanksgiving turkey drive.
Oh, cool.
In Pittsburgh every year for the rest of my years there. And luckily, Marquise Pouncey's still keeping it going alive. But that's what spawned it. It was a Turkey Day prank. I had to bring 15 frozen huge turkeys to the facility.
That's fantastic. I love Thanksgiving stories. Max Starks, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman, joining us for an hour to talk ball and, of course, talk a little Thanksgiving. All right, we all know the NFC West is the best division in the NFL, but I ask you this, is the best team in the NFC also in the NFC West?
This year, yes. I say that's true. I mean, you can look at New Orleans and obviously not having Drew Brees, and Taysom Hill had a great game on Sunday, but I still don't necessarily trust New Orleans. And I think that between the combination of Seattle, Los Angeles, and Arizona, there's no better trio in any division in the NFC, and I'd even argue in all of the league. And either one of those three, when they catch fire, can be unstoppable. So I think the winner does reside. I can't say there's one, but I think we have a good pick of three who will be in the playoffs.
Don't trust New Orleans just because of Drew Brees? Is that it? I mean, and I don't want to minimize that, but.
Yeah, it's just because of Drew Brees, I can't trust him. Granted, their defense since week six has looked amazing. The guys are pressuring quarterbacks. They're making Tom Brady look old every time they face him. And they've just been – very relentless in their approach. Their defense is playing lights out. I think, they're playing a very Pittsburgh style of defense. But I just look at what L.A. defensively did last night to Tom Brady and what they've done quietly, even though we kind of discounted their early victories because it was nobody that had winning records. But seeing it on Monday night primetime, I'm like, this is going to be a bear. And we still got two of those games left for the Cardinals to go against the Rams.
Yeah. Yep.
Nerves setting in on that one. But I think it does result there. And I think, New Orleans, I still question because I don't know. At home, they're ferocious. And against Tom Brady, they were good. But it's one thing to go on the road, especially in December. And when you're going and playing outdoors, they don't necessarily play their best. So that's why I still can't fully trust New Orleans.
Monday morning quarterbacking on the name you mentioned. Tom Brady, is it – I think we all agree he can that he won't win a Super Bowl this year. But can he? I mean, is there still enough there that Tom Brady can lead a team to a Super Bowl?
You know what? I mean, I'll say yes, but a lot has to change for them. Like their identity, they've got to be a run-first team and let Tom Brady play action and then allow him to freestyle only in two-minute hurry-up situations. And the deep ball, let's just face it. Let's just call it what it is right now. The deep ball's not the deep ball for Tom Brady. He's great and surgical in the intermediate game, across the middle, between the hashes, throwing some deep outs. But when it comes to throwing like that deep post or a poco route, running the post corner, double move, the arm's not there. The accuracy's just
so. Who has to adjust, Brady or BA?
I think BA and Brady both have to have that little powwow because both of them need to understand where each other's strength and weakness lies. And I think Byron has done a great job really trying to kind of move it that way. I think it's a lot shorter a game than what BA would like because I think of Brian and Tom's relationship, Byron and Tom's relationship, but there's still too many deep shots. And like you saw, I mean, a couple of those look like wounded ducks. I thought I was watching Duck Hunt for a couple of those interceptions.
Yeah, but you know what, Max? Honestly, it was more about the read to me on both of those that really shocked me.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like his read versus what the receiver did. And I don't know if they're asking the receivers to do too much, but I thought Tom's read was correct, and I thought the receiver's break was a little late. And so the decision kind of changed when Tom had made the decision, right? Especially to throw that one corner route. And that's where I'm like, okay, is this too much for them? Are they trying to reach? Because remember a couple weeks ago when Antonio Brown first came on the team and Tom was forcing everything to AB and it just wasn't there?
Yeah, right.
That's where I think, okay, we got so many different DBs, wide receivers, going into so many different packages, and maybe they don't know it as well as they should because you got so many guys you got to spread the ball to. So many guys that command the ball between Anthony Miller, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski. You know, I'm just like, you know, O.J. Howard. I'm like, there's only so many balls. And then your backfield is suffering. They don't run the ball as effectively as I think they should. And they also have a committee back there. They have a mishmash of former All-Stars back there that they're trying to disseminate. So I think they just have too much. And that's the problem. It's just like when you go to a buffet for the first time and you're sitting there and you're looking, you're like, where do I start? You know, that's kind of what Tom Brady's – he's stuck at the starting phase. He's holding the plate, deciding if he needs to get a second plate, but he doesn't know whether to go center, middle, or, you know, go to the center, go center right, or center left. You know, do I go to the roast beef station? You know, it just came out. It's carved. Or am I healthy? You know, do I make a salad first? Because it's propriety, right? And the chronological order of food eating.
Forget about
I don't know what to do.
Follow the hot food.
Forget about the salad.
Cold food will always be there. Follow the hot food. That is.
Or do you go dessert with the fresh baked chocolate chip cookies that come out fresh? You can smell them.
You get those all day. You know? Just follow any hot food. That's Max Starks.
No,
we're going to do something weird. Maximum Football continues at 9 o'clock, so Max, don't go far. However, we got Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley, head coach of ASU basketball. I think he has an opponent now. So we'll talk ASU hoops for this weekend up next with the head coach of ASU on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break is presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.
Right now, Bobby Hurley is joining Doug and Wolf for our regular Tuesday conversation. Bobby, you have been in the game a long time. Have you ever gotten on a plane in your life not knowing who you were playing when you landed?
Good morning, guys. that was interesting. And my associate head coach, Rashawn Berno, brought that to my attention and, wondered if, you know, shouldn't we know exactly who we're playing? But we had really good confidence, good intelligence that the tournament director, you know, had two scenarios for us that were presented. And I'll try and go backwards if I can to Sunday. And it was just a whirlwind, you know, with Baylor and that whole situation and all the consultation, all the phone calls between our administration, our doctors, and what went into our decision with that and deciding that it wasn't in the best interest of playing the game with the uncertainty of Baylor. We were not planning on going. And then within a few minutes, the tournament director had proposed another scenario where we would play two games and potentially play Virginia. And when we got on the plane, that's where my mind was at and my thoughts were at. But I guess further looking into Baylor by the tournament and the doctors associated with the other teams that were going to play Baylor, it was decided in the best interest for Baylor not to travel to the tournament. Mm. So now we're back in the original event and we have a new opponent, which is Rhode Island. And we're just starting to get prepared for that today, but we're still in quarantine right now. We did get here last night in Connecticut about 8 o'clock and we got tested and we're still waiting for our results before we could even gather as a team.
Wow. Talking to Bobby Hurley, head coach, Arizona State. I know you well enough to know nothing is more important to you than your family, and then it's your players right there. So it was a no-brainer to stand up and say, hey, we can't play Baylor under these circumstances for the health of your kids. But on the flip side, I'd also know that had to just crush you. You had to be so jacked up to take on a top five team to start the season and the attention that upset could possibly bring you. Take me through those emotions of missing out on a chance to play Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really horrible, you know, situation. I feel for all parties involved. But again, when you look at how the Big 12 is testing right now and how we're testing, it's different. So, you know, we can't take that risk and it'll put our student athletes in jeopardy potentially. So it basically came down to that. And it was a tough Zoom call because we had a really good practice on Sunday. You know, I was, you know, prepared. You know, we were working on things in practice to go against Baylor, you know, knowing that we had film on them for several days. So that basically hit the scrap heap. And I was just, I thought my toughest decision Sunday afternoon was whether I was going to wear a suit on Wednesday or wear a polo and slacks. And then, you know, everything changed when that news hit the wire. And then it just became several hours of phone calls and conversations to come up with a decision.
Bobby, I can't even imagine. We've been talking an awful lot about the Patriots game coming up, of course, with the Cardinals, and Bill Belichick used to be my coach, and Bill used to say that distractions are the enemy of intent. He hated distractions. I can only imagine what you're dealing with right now. Is this like the biggest distraction? Is that the biggest concern in regard to your guys and them actually playing a game?
I think, guys, it's more just all the uncertainty and just all the landmines that are out there right now. And we just had a team that was here I'm trying to get confirmation on this, but it was posted on social media that one of the schools that was supposed to play in another game here had someone test positive, so they're not going to participate in the event. So it's just, you know, what's around the corner, and it's just so trying to, you know, get away from all the distractions, shelter your team as much as possible, and keep them focused. But that hasn't diminished the enthusiasm that our players have. They desperately, you know, want to play, and hopefully that happens Wednesday night.
We're talking to Bobby Hurley, head coach, Arizona State. Bobby, I don't know if too much time has already elapsed since your brother took the UConn job, but do you feel like you have good information on Rhode Island, or is it a little dated now? From Danny, I mean.
Slightly dated, just, yeah. You know, I know that he's left a great culture there. I'm watching film of them this morning. It's in a couple of their games, you know, last year, and you know, they lost some guys. There's a lot of transition on their roster. They've had a number of new transfers and incoming freshmen, so we're still doing a lot of intel on their personnel. They have, you know, one of the best guards in the country, and Fats Russell, his brother Dwayne Russell, had a really good career at Grand Canyon, really good guard, and he's one of the better point guards in the country, can really score it. And they play hard. They got, you know, a really hard playing, you know, way about a man defense and blue collar approach.
Bobby, what are your expectations against Rhode Island? Not for the season, but what are your expectations for your guys against Rhode Island?
Well, I think it's, you know, we want to play. We've had, you know, 5 weeks of practice, and practices were getting chippy. And, you know, I had a media session when I wasn't thrilled about a practice, and, you know, we were all just like at that point where we need to play somebody. And so we, you know, we're very, you know, interested to see, you know, where we stand and how we stack up, and, you know, getting experience for our freshmen and our newer players is important, and playing these quality games is meaningful. And so we're really excited just to see what it looks like tomorrow night.
What kind of conversations have you had with your guys this year about the uncertainty? I mean, you look over at the football side. Right now they're scheduled to play Sunday, but we're still a little worried whether or not that can happen. You've always heard the phrase, play like it's your last game, yet after last year we learned we don't know when the last game could be. Every game is to be cherished, yet I don't know. I don't want to get, you know, melodramatic either on this. What kind of conversations have you had with your guys about the sanctity of actually being able to play?
Well, I just think we have to be appreciative that we have the green light right now. There's most likely, if this thing goes the way it's going, there's going to be a situation where we're going to be shut down for a week or 2 weeks. So, you know, that's going to be a definite possibility. And so we're completely healthy. We've knock on wood. We haven't had any cases. So, you know, we have to move forward and make the most out of it. And, you know, I've been trying to do a better job of, like, if the bus wasn't outside the hotel leaving for a game exactly at the minute that I wanted it to last year, it would frustrate me. Like, I was very detail oriented, but in this new world, you know, I'm trying not to show any frustration to my team, and because there are a lot of things now that we have to work through, a lot of procedures and protocols and things. And if you show these guys that you're frustrated and you can't handle it, then your team's going to be in trouble. So just trying to stay positive and take everything in stride.
Bobby, do you have any team rules? I mean, what are you telling your guys right now, over and above the protocols, of course? Do you have any team rules in regard to keeping everybody safe?
I mean, we're just trying to constantly communicate, you know, to our guys the importance of keeping their circle extremely tight and being careful about who they're around. And, I mean, we've had administrators come in and talk to us after football and things that happened there. So we're trying to be on the front end of continuing to remind these guys of, you know, any poor behavior or putting yourself in a bad situation away from the practice facility is going to put the program in jeopardy. So to just constant reinforcement, so there's no fatigue on that message.
This is going to sound cheesy, but if I can talk as a Sun Devil fan, just thank you. I mean, thanks to you and your guys for going through, like you said, the testing and everything else, because I don't know if we're going to be able to go to games very often, but I want college basketball. And so just thanks for going through all the inequities and the problems and everything you have to deal with just to play basketball, because we want to watch.
I appreciate you saying that, because I don't think people understand the commitment that our players have made. And even on days off, they're going in and getting tested at 8 a.m. And that's a daily thing, you know, throughout the last several weeks. So they're making a big commitment, and they desperately want to play. And I wish everyone could have seen how excited the guys were to get on the plane to come and play, you know, in this tournament. It was so easy to see this is what feels normal to them. And I could really say that so far this event has really taken it seriously. And we're not exposed to any people, and the security is very high level. And so I think our guys are in a very safe environment for these two games.
Bobby, that was my next question, just so you know. Bobby, thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you, Coach.
No problem, guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Okay, there's Bobby Hurley. We'll talk again next week. If you want to hear it, Tim and Kyle will have your play-by-play coming up tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock on ESPN 620 AM, with them taking on Rhode Island. Win, and they probably face Villanova. Coming up next, Maximum Football returns. What does Max expect from the master, the professor, Bill Belichick, against his pupil, Cliff Kingsbury? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break was presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.